I'm Nick Austin, host of Soul Saturday, heard every Saturday night at 8 right here on 101.9 WDET, where each week we examine how soul music impacts the modern artists and performers we love, especially right here in Detroit. And thanks to a new release from funk vocalist and bass player Paul Randolph, those words are colliding once again. That's why I sat down with Randolph to learn more about the foundations of his unique brand of soul and funk music for a freewheeling conversation covering topics like why now was the time for his latest release, one of the best lessons he ever learned in music, and the background behind one of the bass lines most influential in his development as a performer.
Just a touch of love.
Make me shine just a little bit, just a little bit.
That's such a great bass part. For me, it's how he switches up rhythmically on it. I love how there's two different, distinctly different parts. There's the part he plays in the verse sections.
Make it shine just a little bit, just a little bit.
With just a touch of love.
Send my mind just a little bit.
And there's the part that he plays in the choruses. And where he chooses to switch things up a little bit as you get further into the record. I find some of my favorite bass players, that's what they do. They have, there's a couple of central ideas, and then as the record progresses, they may change them ever so slightly. It depends on the song. It depends on what the music needs. And it becomes really less about what you want to play and what the music tells you to play. Mm. So you may have all these grand ideas, and then you go to execute them and it sounds horrible because it might be too busy,
right,
you know,
right.
It might be too much. You may still be building up the track itself. So you want to create space for other instruments to live because it's all about that synergy and that space for everybody to have. The parts are, you know, equally as important as also.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of things that I listened for and still do. You know, that's why there's certain people who I really, really admire, like Lee Sklar, you know, and how he only plays what's necessary. He never plays what's not necessary. And I guess that could also depend on the kind of music you're playing, because some music is more notey. And the list goes on, you know, Chuck Rainey. I mean, these guys, they just, it's always what the music tells them to do. They can play. And left to their own devices, maybe they'd like to play a lot more. But they realize that the music has to dictate and they have to make room for everything else.
That's something about being a bass player. You guys are selfless and you understand, like, especially with the bottom, if it gets all muddy, if it gets busy, you could be a virtuoso. But sometimes it's about what the song needs, not what you need.
Exactly. And there's a place for all of that other stuff. There's a place to play extra, you know? It just depends on what. I mean, what kind of brought it together for me was growing up, I was listening to, of course, all the jazz fusion stuff that was happening. And everybody's playing fast, you know, and all of this. And so I stepped into the blues community because I needed to work. And then it was like, hey. This ain't no jazz now. This is blues. I'm like, what? You're playing too much, man. This is just... So I wasn't hard-headed. There was a place that I was playing in Windsor every Saturday, and I was playing with a gentleman by the name of Robert Penn. I remember him saying to me, you know, you're just playing too much, young man. So I said, okay. I deliberately stripped everything down. I played as simplistic as I possibly could, to the point that it was almost a little bit painful because all I could think of was what I wanted to play, but that was the lesson. It was like, now you get to think about what would work rather than going for something that you're not sure is going to work.
Right.
You give yourself some time to understand the spaces that you're offered. This went on for some time. And then one day he finally turned to me and he says, now be yourself. And I did it, and I understood exactly the lesson he was trying to teach me. This music requires a specific discipline. Once you understand that discipline, you can add pieces, but you know what to do and you know what not to do. So that becomes a matter of taste.
Those lessons Paul Randolph learned during his early development in the blues had an impact on his career that we still enjoy today, but also helped him gain notoriety not only locally and nationally, but internationally, including specifically by one collective out of Germany.
So Jazzanova was definitely the commercial, here's Paul Randolph world. Take a listen. The first song that I did with them was called Let Me Show You. It was interesting because they sent me the music and it was very, very dense, meaning there was a lot of instrumentation and it was like, how am I going to fit? I had to kind of call upon my understanding of rhythm and blues. Here we go. Rhythm and blues and blues and how things are placed, where spaces are and how you can fill them.
If you're feeling love, let me show ya. At least a thousand reasons why you should take your time before you fall again. If you're feeling love, now's a good time to wish upon the starry sky. Take your time, trust that you will win. So you got that look again, like you lost your best friend. Said he didn't get to know you, didn't get to see you. For all the beauty in you, you chose to set aside, you chose to compromise. Every time you saw the dangerous signs come crossing in.
So that was an interesting one because of just the... just how much was going on in the music and finding that space for myself.
Listen, girl, dry your eyes, don't sweat. You know better than that. Till you learn how special you are, you'll put up a smack like that. Dry your eyes, don't sweat. You're special. I'm just schooling you. You're special.
It's with all of that background training and experience that we received the latest offerings from Paul Randolph, though while they're new to us, these tracks have 1, 2, and sometimes even greater amounts of time that they have been sitting, cultivating, being prepared for our ears.
How does it feel?
Yeah.
Is almost like 9 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was something I recorded. Well, I recorded the vocals and some of the instrument, mostly bass and drums, and then brought it back home. I recorded it in Manchester. I was working over there with Zed Bias. I brought it home, I finished it, and then life happened and it didn't go anywhere. Right. I mean, it never left the hard drive.
Right.
So now I'm at this... in this space and at this place where I can start putting out all the stuff that has been sitting around on hard drives.
Your past, you burned, you spun, you turned, you broke your back, and now you're here. How does it feel? Tell me, how does that feel?
Well, what's coming up next for Paul Randolph then?
Well, a couple of things I don't really want to give away. I mean, there's some solo stuff that will definitely come, but one of the next projects that I am producing and am singing and playing in is a project with Al Hudson from Al Hudson in One Way.
Yeah.
And Kathy Cousins and myself, three singers, and it's called Detroit Centric.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, no, that'll be...
You're the only one that knows that.
All right. For people who want to learn more about you, keep track of what you got going on, especially that Detroit Centric, when it releases. What's the best way for people to keep in touch and know what you're up to, Paul Randolph?
You can always depend on social media. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. Those are my two main spots that I post things. So that would be probably the easiest.
Just search for Paul Randolph.
That's it.
Paul Randolph, thanks once again for your time and joining us here on WDET.
Peace.